boast only in the cross, where my Savior died for me. Nothing else, no other love goes so far and runs so deep. I will boast only in the cross, see his head, his hands and feet, scars of grace, the scars that heal. He broke the curse and set me free. I will boast only in the cross, the Father's love at Calvary, my sin erased, my debt he paid. This is my hope, the song I sing. This is my hope, the song I sing. Only one took the nails, only one tore the veil, only one spotless lamb. I will boast only in the cross. Only one took the nails, only one tore the veil, only one spotless lamb. I will boast only in the cross. I will boast only in the cross.
Remember, Evan, we're Presbyterians, not Church of God. So that's wild praise for us. From the book of Hosea, the 11th chapter, Hosea, we're reading through. It's getting weirder and weirder as it goes. But this is an interesting metaphor of teaching children to walk. When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. The more I called them, the more they went from me. They kept sacrificing to Baals and offering incense to idols. Yet it was I who taught Ephraim to walk. I took them up in my arms, but they did not know that I healed them. I led them with cords of human kindness and with bands of love, and I was to them like those who lift infants to their cheeks. I bent down to them and fed them. They shall return to the land of Egypt, and Assyria shall be their king, because they have refused to return to me. The sword rages in their cities, It consumes their oracle priests and devours because of their schemes. My people are bent on turning away from me. To the Most High they call, but he does not raise them up at all. How can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I hand you over, O Israel? How can I make you like Adam? How can I treat you like Zebulun? My heart recoils within me. My compassion grows warm and tender. I will not execute my fierce anger. I will not again destroy Ephraim, for I am God and no mortal, the Holy One in your midst, and will not come in wrath. They shall go after the Lord, who roars like a lion. When he roars, his children shall come trembling from the west. They shall come trembling like birds from Egypt and like doves from the land of Assyria, and I will return them to their homes, says the Lord. And now from the Gospel of Luke, the so-called parable of the rich fool, in the 12th chapter, starting at the 13th verse. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But Jesus said to him, "Friend, who set me to be judge or arbitrator over you?" Now pay attention to this. I want you to note how many times there's an I or a my or a mine or a something that points to the one individual. Jesus said to them, which was the big crowd that was following him, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "Self, what should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "I will do this, and I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grains and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God says to him, 'You fool, this very night your life has been demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God." Today, let us think about the reality that you can't take it with you. The rich fool has much. His land produces greatly. So greatly that he does an odd thing. Trust me, I lived in Nebraska for 10 years. I know how this works. The text says that the man tore down his barns to build even larger ones to store his grain. That's not the way you do it, unless you're a really cocky guy. Because what most people do is they fill their old silo as they're building a new one that's even bigger, and then they fill the bigger one too. But this guy thinks he'll be so successful that he won't need that wait time. He can just tear down his old barns, build new ones, and have more and more and more and more. It is important to note in this text what the so-called rich fool does not say about his stuff. Because what he doesn't say is, "Look how much I have. Now I can give to the poor. Look how much I have. No one in my neighborhood will have to go hungry. Look how much I have. Thank God for the abundance I've been given. No words like that come from his mouth. Instead, what we hear from the rich fool is, look how much I have. Ain't I great? I'm going to do stuff so I can get more and more and more. Yay me. Problem of the rich fool is a problem of greed. And because all the texts I read about this particular scripture say, be careful, mainline Protestants, you may be preaching to rich people in your pews. Okay, fine. Let me remind you that it is not a sin to have stuff. Some of you think that's a crazy statement. I am glad that we have an endowment here in this church that produces mightily. Do I wish it produced more and more and more so we tear our barns down and get... Yes, I do. I confess. Do I think that's a sin? No. Here's what I think is a sin. To have all this stuff and only have it for ourselves and never use it for our neighbors or the glory of God. That's what greed is. Greed is taking your stuff that God intended for good and turning it on its head and using it for yourself only. And the problem of the rich fool is he's a greedy fool. See, if we want to talk about proper stewardship, we've got to talk about how we use our stuff. In Presbyterian parlance, we always want to talk about stewardship as being the use of our time, our talents, and our treasures. How do we use that to help our neighbors and to glorify God? Greed is selfishness. It focuses on self and therefore takes our focus away from being rich toward others and rich toward God. Good stewardship is the return to God of what God has given us and the care of our neighbor. That's how we're supposed to use our stuff. And that is where, my friends, the rich fool falls down. So how then can we be rich in the eyes of God and in the eyes of our neighbor? Remember what I said to you, you can't take it with you. I Googled, because I'm a hip young pastor. I Googled. Where are the hip young kids? Do you even Google anymore? There's something hipper than Google, I'm sure. Google, okay, Google everything. I'm a hip young pastor, I'm good. Woo! I Googled the phrase, you'll never see a U-Haul behind a hearse. Right? You can't take it with you. Everything that God has given us here is meant to be used here for the good of others and for the glory of God. And there's this wonderful song when talking about being rich toward others. It's called, No U-Haul Behind Your Hearse. Now, I've been blessed to make hundreds of millions of dollars in my life. I can't take it with me, and neither can you. It's not how much you have, but what you do with what you have. Oh, this is a different one. Let me back up. This is about service to people. I'm going to talk about service to God in a minute. That's the U-Haul thing. But Denzel Washington, y'all know who he is? Denzel Washington made this great commencement speech, and that what I just read is what he said. I'll say it again. He says, you never see a U-Haul behind a hearse. Right? He says, Egyptians tried to keep all their stuff with them when they died, and all it got them was robbed. Isn't that a great line? I love that. And then he says, I've been blessed to make hundreds of millions of dollars in my life. I can't take it with me, and neither can you. It's not about how much you have, but what you do with what you have. And then he went on to say, my life is all about service. Service to my God, service to my family, service to my industry, service to my community. You can't take your stuff with you. But how will you serve others with what you've been given? Now that's Denzel Washington saying that. Denzel Washington, what is his big claim to fame, man? He's a handsome dude. How much more should those of us who know God be able to serve others in being rich toward God? And then here's where I slipped before, but here is it. In being rich toward God, the chorus of this psalm called You Never See a U-Haul Behind a Hearse is, there's no diamond big enough that will ever compare to the price Lord Jesus paid for me when the soldiers hung him there. And you can store up all those treasures down here on this earth, but there won't be no U-Haul trailer pulled behind your hearse. The rich fool is a fool because he has forgotten that to be rich in God, God must be first, and we must understand that God is both the author of life and death and the author of all that we have. Without God, we have and are nothing. And it is for that reason we give. To be rich in God is to know that Jesus, our Christ, died and rose and lives for us this day. And to him be all glory and honor forever. Amen.